Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Time now for the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Yes. Welcome in. It's Balloon Party driven by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton Toyota, and I am staring into the camera for all of the people waiting for us, Jackson, on the 101 ESPN YouTube channel. Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Balloon Party here on 101 ESPN and the 101 ESPN YouTube channel. And you are welcome to participate by texting in the Air Comfort Service text line 314-399-9646 and by partaking in the YouTube chat like John Scores, Tiny PP, Bishin' About Sports, Bourbon Snob. They've all been waiting for us. And Eric Nickens, too. If I was a three handicap, I would probably brag about it, too. Oh, Bourbon Snob, how long will it take before Tim Humble brags about his three handicap, pal? Is that considered, is that a thing? I didn't know that was a thing. Is that a brag?
I don't even know if you've ever said that on these airwaves.
I know, yeah. Like, why, like, how would it come up?
Like, in all my sports hour updates. Something.
I told Jackson this. This is full transparency. What do they call the show? Honesty and Media, or Yuppie and the Douchebag, or the Little Piddle Show, or something?
So many names, but right. Certainly Honesty and Media.
Honesty and Media. I am, I guess somehow my prostate was a tingling at 2:30. Don't know why, don't know how, just know it was. So I went out to use the little wizard's room, and I never was able to fall asleep. And sweet mother of mercy. What I am today is an even greater liability than normal. So I told Jackson, I said, oh, you're going to earn your keep today. Oh, you're going to earn a real nice slack. Yeah. That's what I said to him. But because I'm a liability, not only to this station, I'm a liability to myself. So I'm high risk today. Easily thrown off course when I don't have the kind of Hall of Fame, your words, focus that I usually bring to the table. And so we could go anywhere. And because of that, I'm upping it to $40. $40.
40.
For a deep dive. The thing is, since Jackson knows he had to earn his keep, there is a chance that the Little Piddles Friday Six Shooter could be glorious. And that could do its own work. I don't know. All I know is I'm dangerous today.
Yeah, I feel that for sure.
Do you feel the danger? Can you tell? Do I look less hot than normal?
No, that's never been the case. Good, except that one day we came in when you were fresh shaven after no beard.
And that, yeah, you were really upset by that, actually, now that I think about that.
Yeah, that was like...
are you happy with the 5 o'clock shadow?
Big fan. Big fan.
That's like rather I go back to the full beard, 5 o'clock shadow, clean shaven.
If I had my druthers,
right.
You'd go full beard. Even honestly, like thicker than it once was.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I think if you can do it, you go all the way. Maybe not like who was the Jason Wirth? Not like
Crystal
that.
Crystal Gale.
Of course. It's a person. Yeah, not like a really thick one, like the Jason Wirth of past.
Washington,
James Harden.
Nationals, Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, maybe not that.
Jefferson City native. Do you know that?
Yes. Buddy of mine's grandparents owned some property out in Illinois.
Humble brag.
A lot of farmland, and Jason Wirth attempted to purchase it once.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's big into farming. And from what they said, great guy. Either way, I think the thicker the better. However, to both please your wife, which if we're being honest is the only person that matters in that department, and also have like a little bit of the facial hair.
This is the compromise.
I think it's a good compromise.
I told her, I said, well, Jackson thinks I look hotter with a beard. And she goes, well, then you can go sleep with Jackson. I said, I already have.
Yeah.
We had to disclose it with Hubbard HR.
It was. It was an awkward meeting, but it was a meeting that needed to happen.
Yeah, but I think everybody kind of thought that was going on anyway.
Well, there were some people there that were like, knew it. They had like an office pool going, but, you know,
Eric Nicken says his prostate barks every day at 4:15. It's great regularity.
I wish I had that.
4:30 got me. Terrible.
That's for real. And once you're up, it like take like honestly bright whites. Like if I turn on the bathroom light when I'm using the little wizard's room during the middle of the night.
Oh, you can't do that. Keep the lights off.
Gotta keep, but I gotta see where I'm going.
No, I understand that.
I see where I'm going. But if that happens to me, it's really tough for me to fall back asleep as well.
Your thoughts on using the restroom in the middle of the night, three handicaps, Jason Wirth's farmland purchases, and deep dive requests, $40. But let's see what the Little Piddles Friday Six Shooter has. I mean, I think it's your most critically acclaimed Little Piddles series of questions, the Six Shooter.
It's what definitely gets the people going. It's right. A great lead into the weekend. We're going to kick it off. Blues GM Doug Armstrong had his end of the season presser yesterday.
Oh, I owe you $10.
Right, because well, let's keep it rolling. We'll find something else to wager on. Let's keep it rolling. And I want to cash out $10. You know, let's roll it. I'm a parlay.
We spend money back and forth all the time. I don't know why this would matter.
It doesn't really matter. Okay. But we'll figure out something else to wager on soon enough. Some things discussed.
The bet for the record was after Mike Ryder, executive producer, 101 ESPN, told me that BK and Ferrari were going to have Armstrong on at 1:00 and Bannister on at 1:35. I go, oh. They're going to name him the head coach. Otherwise, why would they have the interim coach on after Armstrong? I said, who set it up? He said, the Blues set it up. I go, there you go. And I said, there it is. I'm moving my action off of Jim Montgomery, who could lose to the Leafs in the first round, back-to-back first round exits. And I'm going to move it to Bannister, and they're going to announce it today. And it didn't happen. Doug Armstrong said that Drew Bannister is on a very short list of coaches.
Yep. So that was...
Tells me that he's waiting to see if Montgomery is available. Otherwise, it'll be Drew Bannister.
Yeah.
So, but I guess I can't bet that, can I?
I bet mid-June we will know exactly who will be coaching.
It's going to be before June.
Okay. Fair enough. One thing that surprised our friend Jeremy Rutherford was Armstrong's response to the question about buying out contracts. Army said, I consider it every year. It isn't an ego thing. When we don't buy somebody out, it has to make economic sense, and not just economic sense. There has to be a plan to have a better team because you're doing it. It's like, we don't offer no movement clauses. Well, that's a lie. I don't like to do it. It's not our first preference to buy out players. It's like my kid said, give me $1,000. I want to burn it. I'm like, I'm not going to give you $1,000. When you buy out a player, it's like burning money. So I have an obligation to make sure it's the right thing to do, but no, nothing is off of the table. What do you make of Army's response? Is this about one person in particular?
Great column from Jeremy Rutherford, by the way, on The Athletic. And I believe he was on the opening drive. I was busy on HD2, so I didn't get a chance to hear it. But Jeremy Rutherford was on, I think, the opening drive this morning at like 9:15. Yeah. But he wrote a column on his 10 takeaways from the press conference. So, yes, that part about the buyouts, certainly a highlight, along with JR's interpretation that there are going to be some big moves this offseason, and by big moves, it would mean more of players going away, not necessarily coming here. Mm-hmm. So, I think that you will see a defenseman or two go on their merry way. That would be my expectation. And, I could see Torrey Krug having played his last game with Laissez Note.
Yeah, I mean, buying out a contract is, like you said, you know, you're essentially burning money. So if you're going to do it, you got to make sure it makes sense. It also seemed that JR felt like Joel Quenneville was going to be an unlikely candidate for the next Blues head coach.
Yes, that also was part of the column. You are correct, fine, sir.
Yeah, so certainly some things of note there. I just wanted to kick off.
I mean, what if the Leafs like sweep or beat the Bruins in five?
You'd have to think that he'd be on the hottest of hot seats.
Which... You know, I don't know if that's the right or wrong thing, but I'm just saying that I think that that's probably where it would be. And, you know, I don't know. That's maybe I'm reading too much into it, but when he hasn't, it's like Bannister, unless we can get somebody.
Right.
And
it's so much of it is recency bias too. Like you could have a great tenure, you can have all these things to focus on. But when you said like yesterday, when you really mangle up the end of the season there and have to play the Maple Leafs first, and then if they go on and get swept or losing five to the Maple Leafs, that's what the taste is going to be left in the mouth of Boston sports fans and the Bruins front office. You'd have to think he'd be on the hot seat, and if the Blues could snag him, ooh.
And the same
ties he has?
I don't know. Throw something on that. I'm losing money left and right on this Blues coaching thing. 10:14 in St. Louis. This is Balloon Party on 101 ESPN. I'm giving $40 away.
I know.
$40 just to your Venmo. I got to give you 10 and I get a 40 to the audience member who comes up with a deep dive topic.
You know what I'll do, Tim?
Oh my gosh.
Here's what I'm going to do with that 10 bucks. I'm going to add it to, I'm going to add it to the pool, $50. That's what I will do.
You got to be kidding me.
That's what I'll do with my $10. I'll put it towards the pool if someone can come up.
You horse plowing me, brother?
I got some macro coming up here on the Little Pills.
Oh.
Friday six shooter, but if someone can send in something outstanding and really spurs a conversation.
We've never done this before because I've gone to teasing camp.
That's right.
And the teasing camp, you tease the audience before the segment, say, coming up, we'll have, well, here, let's do this. What's your best macro question, and then I'll know whether or not I need to go into the Air Comfort Service text inbox and then Venmo someone $50. What's the best macro question in front of you?
In the world of sports.
I notice you're not reading this one.
Yeah, well, if I'm going to give a synopsis.
Okay.
In the world of sports, when did distrust of sports institutions begin? Does it track the same timeline as the Americans' distrust of government? And distrust of the world.
You asking a Watergate question today?
No, not necessarily, but more in the sports world.
JFK.
Well, because you see, like we talked about with the Ohtani thing, how people always assume the worst with that as soon as it comes out. And there's a bunch of stories just like that. When did people start to truly distrust? Where's the disconnect there? When is that moment in sports? And it could be as simple as it tracks the same timeline as when people started distrusting the government, possibly.
Making me think here. The thing is, I don't necessarily have an answer to it, so it's going to be tough. I don't know. I like the question. I like the thought that went into the question. The issue is I'm trying to figure out. I don't know. I don't have to think about that. All right, Jackson. He's bringing it strong. That's what he does, though. All right. Deep dive request, 314-399-9646. Got the YouTube chat as well. 101 ESPN YouTube channel. This is Balloon Party on 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back to Sports Party 101 ESPN. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan. That's Jackson Bennett Burkett. And we welcome you to participate in the show. Jackson, I gazed at the Air Comfort Service text inbox during our first commercial break. And a lot of people are recommending a nightlight for you. Not like in a, hey, you're an infant, but when you use the little wizard's room in the middle of the night and you turn on a bright light, they're saying a nightlight in your, what do you have, an ensuite?
Yeah, ensuite. Well, 1.5 bath, one bathroom right by the front door, of course. Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually. When I heard nightlight first, I was like, oh, good one. But actually, that makes sense.
No, there were a lot of nightlight texts. I'm like, what's this nightlight thing? But then that goes back to the issue of waking up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I usually do fall back asleep at this past, 2:30 in the morning today. Oh. Sweet mother of mercy is what I'm telling you, Jackson.
Oh, it's the worst. Not getting good sleep is the worst.
What are you going to do?
You grind.
Yeah. That's what happens when you're a meat and potatoes guy. You know, when you're the working man. I listen to Billy Joel's Allentown, and I'm like, hey, you know what? This is what I've been asked to do. I've been asked to do a one-hour show. I know most people couldn't do it.
No way.
But I can. And I'm gonna. So, Jackson, that's what we're going to do for him now. Now we got this little Piddles Friday Six Shooter.
We sure do.
So what is this question again? When people started to distrust sports entities?
Right. So,
okay, so ask it again for those just joining us.
Sure. There's a lot of big picture sports stories out there, whether you have the Shohei Ohtani thing, the A's possibly moving, gambling issues in the NBA. It seems despite information provided or continued that to come out, people always seem dubious of what we have talked about before, the court of public opinion. Do you think there is one singular moment where sports fans lost their trust of the institutions? Do you think it tracks in a similar timeline to when people questioned the government and lost their trust?
I don't think there's a singular moment. If anybody does, please go ahead and share. Do you think that there's a singular moment, or is it what's coming to mind when you ask that question? Because you usually kind of have an idea of where you think it's going to go when you ask questions, I think.
Sure. So I asked the question, and I especially try to match it up with the timeline of people's distrust of a lot of American institutions and world institutions. And I think if we talk singular moment in that regard, we have talked about this before on QFTA, the murder, the assassination of JFK seemed to be like a moment where people, as we've talked about, lost their innocence and things really changed in the world. I don't know if there is a moment for that in sports, but if there is at least a span of time where that might have happened, it might be something like the steroid era in baseball could be a possible thing where it kind of is out that a lot of people are cheating. I just don't know if there is, like, you could go all the way back to the Black Sox thing. Like,
yeah, maybe we're getting a lot of texts on that.
Maybe that could be like going up, but that's so far back.
Yeah, I mean, we're going back 100 plus years. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what sports wise would tie into around November 1963, but I'm not saying that it's not the case. I'm just trying to think.
Right.
I'm trying to take myself back to 2000, for example, and think, was there the level of distrust? Because it's like what I've cited a few times, the Otani thing. Well, of course, it was the interpreter. Okay, you know, the interpreter's covering for him. Doesn't matter what Otani says. Doesn't matter if there's a federal indictment. Doesn't matter. What's the Zach Johnson thing? I was saying it to myself. No, you weren't. You were saying it to the patrons. And he's like, no, I wasn't. Where is this coming from? And what was the, I felt like there was one yesterday we were talking about. Oh, the Cardinals and public money. And then right, Bill DeWitt's like, I don't even know where this is coming from.
Right.
And we haven't even decided what we're going to do. So how do we ask for money? And then people are like, oh, he's lying. So everybody thinks they're always lying.
Yeah,
you can't win. No, you're just protesting. It's kind of like an apology on social media. It's never good enough. So you can't win. So I'm trying to think when that started, and I don't know. I mean, I really don't, but I'm thinking of how this works. I don't know. Let me see what I got here. The Ray Rice incident was really bad, made the NFL look terrible, and we questioned a bunch of decisions on Roger Goodell. That's from the 314. Who doesn't trust sports institutions? Sports is one of the few places where if you're good enough, you play. With sports betting being bigger, it brought to light the Raptors guy cheating. Jonte Porter thing.
Yeah.
Tim Donaghy's referenced.
Certainly. Yeah.
That's from the 618. Social media ruined it all. That's from the 314.
I think when you ask, like when you talk about social media in that realm, it's like a chicken and egg thing. Because yes, social media has just come around the last 20 years and it's given everyone a voice. However, I'm not sure that people didn't have these opinions. They just didn't have an outlet to share it on. And maybe it's
it was
been
like
fueled.
The sound off section in the Post-Dispatch was, but we laughed at it. It was like a joke. It's right. Like, oh, look, you know, somebody, you know, got a pen and paper and wrote a letter and the Post-Dispatch printed it. And we kind of like, oh, we know what the Post-Dispatch is doing. They're printing the craziest one they get because it's entertaining. Whereas now these, you know, absurd thoughts are like, you know, that's how we bolster the column. Plenty of people are outraged on social media. So it's just accepted as that's the way that you justify an opinion piece by picking a quote or two from an anonymous person on social media. But that's a different thing than people distrusting sports institutions. So I guess, yeah, I mean, as one texter said, well, we got to take it back. Where do we, is there distrust of, like, let's operate on that. So where do you see distrust of sports institutions?
I see distrust of sports institutions with officiating in a lot of ways.
So you think that people are starting to think now it's crooked?
Yes.
Okay. And you think that's because the prevalence of gambling?
Yeah. And it's like anything that can happen will happen. And we've seen there have been crooked refs before. And so once that happens once, it opens Pandora's box to, well, if it can happen once, it can happen again and again and again and again. I think there's something like that. I think there's also something to when the moment or the time period when sports became huge business, major corporations, there was times where sports athletes were making good money, don't get me wrong, but we're making, you know, generational wealth. Nowadays, sports teams are some of the biggest businesses in any city in America. Billions of dollars. Individual people can't even buy sports teams anymore. That's how much they're worth. They have to be bought by corporations or groups. And so I think anytime you bring in that kind of money, distrust is going to come with that. It's almost a sacrifice you make to make more money. You're going to get some distrust around that.
The one thing that I have been observing for better than a quarter century, actually, is how, I mean, way more often than not, if there is a game, like I can pick out the game on the NFL schedule, and it isn't every week. It's about a third of the weeks in the NFL schedule where there's a game that, you know, if somebody's not really a great better, that's who they're going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I guess Chiefs minus only like 2.5 against a terrible team, whoever that would be.
There was a Colts-Chiefs game a couple years ago.
I remember that. I think the Chiefs may have been undefeated, and everybody was on the Chiefs, and I think the Colts won straight up.
Yeah, they did.
And I have been observing this for 25-plus years, and for the life of me, I don't know how to explain it outside of I just know when I see it, I'm like, it makes no sense. I just know already that the other team is going to cover. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. And I'm not saying something's weird. Mm-hmm. I just have seen it enough to know that 70-ish percent of the time, the team that you just would be like, there's no way. How are the Chiefs, or back in the day when it was the, you know, take your pick of whomever. I don't know. The Patriots were never viewed, except 2007, as like, for as great of a run as they had, they weren't viewed as dominant as like those Cowboys teams of the 90s, or the 49ers teams of the 80s, or even the Rams when they were at their best here in St. Louis. The Patriots just kind of won. In 2007, they destroyed teams. But the square bettors would be like, oh, nice, this spread's so good, and then the other team would somehow cover. And that's been going on for so long. That's the one thing that I have observed. Some people have texted in about boxing,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and dirty pool with boxing, yeah. whenever that became kind of a, you know, but I mean, that can go back 100 years as well. I just don't know when it started to get mainstream attention.
For sure. I think a lot of it, too, is like power. Like, there could be an argument made that the 32 NFL owners are the most powerful people in America. And therefore, the commissioner represents them. And so that would make him possibly more powerful than anybody in the country when you talk about the money generated by the NFL and the interest and engagement. I just think that anytime you bring in that level of power, that level of influence on state legislation, cities, you bring in an element of distrust, because essentially you're kind of becoming one with the powers that be in America. I think that could be a real moment where, and it's certainly not a singular moment.
That's interesting, because I don't think that that's necessarily the way that it was when I was growing up, but I do think that it's the way that it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So along those lines, I don't think that, you know, I think maybe the Spanos family, I'm kind of drawing here from the Rams relocation saga, because as damn near anybody who is listening to this show right now is the case, you're not in a position to own an NFL franchise.
Right.
It'd be wonderful if we did have billionaires listening to the show. And I think we have like six.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're like, the way that it was explained when that was going on is Dean Spanos is not wealthy. And I'd go, he owns an NFL team. How's he not wealthy? And I'm like, well, by definition, the asset that he owns is of course worth an absurd amount of money,
right.
No question about it, but he's not liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon Gekko, Bud Fox, second time they've been referenced this week on the show, I believe, in the back of the limousine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking about a working stiff making $400,000 a year. This is Gordon Gekko talking to Charlie Sheen's character in Wall Street. I'm talking about liquid, and that's what Kroenke had. He was liquid, so therefore he could bankroll his own stadium, also have it go way over the projected cost, and still come out of it golden, and pay St. Louis $750 million and be like, whatever, doesn't matter. That kind of wealth. That was not, so Spanos, as an example, still, of course, wealthy by, you know, I don't know what judgment you would be describing wealth, but I think everybody would consider him wealthy, but not necessarily in Kroenke's level of wealth. That's one of the last few like family business on paper wealthy operations in the NFL. The rest that maybe are also have wealth from other businesses, or their franchises have just killed it so much that now they're ridiculously wealthy. Otherwise, if a team is bought and sold now, they're being sold to either a corporation, as you said, or a billionaire. Well, you just saw what happened with the Coyotes moving to Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Same family that owns the Jazz, they got them there. That's the way that it's going to work. That was not necessarily the way that it was, you know, in my lifetime, in the 1980s. So along those lines, because I guess now I'm doing my own master's thesis on the fly here, because there is a distrust of corporate America,
yeah.
and the gap between the wealthy slash elite And for lack of a better term, the working man does not identify with the owner any longer, but may identify the owner as the similar one as the corporate boss that has effed him over, and therefore that person is projected upon that distrust.
Yeah.
There is my master's thesis. Do with it what you will. We got a break. Your thoughts are welcome. 314-399-9646. I like the question, Jackson.
Thank you.
314-399-9646. And the YouTube chat is welcome for your conversation as well. This is Balloon Party on 101 ESPN.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back, Balloon Party, 101 ESPN. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you here on the program that is presented to you by Mungin S, St. Louis Acura, Mungin S, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota. Jackson, in the Little Piddles Friday six shooter, has asked a question that has engaged not only his co-host, but the audience. Jackson, the question again.
Sure. A lot of big picture sports stories out there. Shohei Ohtani, the A's possibly moving, gambling issues in the NBA, as you talked about, the public money possibly with Busch Stadium. It seems like despite information provided or that continues to come out, people seem dubious. And what we've talked about before, the court of public opinion reigns supreme. Do you think there is one singular moment where sports fans lost their trust of the institutions? Do you think it tracks in a similar timeline to when people questioned the government and lost their trust?
There it is. That's the question that we have been discussing. Jay Delsing, friend of the show, he with, I think it's four or six albatrosses and 20 holes in one, texted, when the athletes started making big, unrelatable money, felt like there became a divide between the fan and the player, and then social media kicked it to help further the divide. How about that?
Yeah, I think that's
a nice play right there from somebody who's a professional athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you take like a worldview look at it too, you know, soccer is the biggest sport in the world, and FIFA, the governing body.
Yeah, that's what I remember being on the air on the announcement of Qatar,
whatever
it was called. I remember going, I mean, right then on the air going, okay, I mean, there's no way.
Right.
You know, there's no way.
Yeah.
I was on the air. I mean, I know that this opens up a whole nother conversation, but when Kevin Demoff was on, he was on Channel 2 in St. Louis. The morning they announced that the Rams were going to play in London, playing against the Patriots, like, you know, fans wanted to see Tom Brady and the Patriots, and he was spinning it that it would be great for tourism dollars in St. Louis because fans from London would come over to St. Louis. I mean, he was really doing this. I'm just like, oh my God, why are we, like, it's one thing to run a bluff.
Mm-hmm.
But make the bluff credible in some capacity, you know?
Exactly. And so I bring up the FIFA thing especially because that's super shady. And American sports fans look at that World Cup in Qatar like they're going to play in the winter. It makes no sense. But we've kind of seen that now come to the home front a little bit with the advent of LIV Golf coming in and where you're getting big foreign money, oil money, coming in and completely shaking up a sports league. Now, obviously, golf is on the outside looking in when it comes to the four major American sports, but that's not to say that in the next 10 years or even sooner, something like that could happen here in America with any of the four major American sports leagues.
Your thoughts are welcome. 314-399-9646. Did it happen for you? Do you find yourself not trusting the stories, the owners, the players, whatever it might be, managers? And then in addition, if that is the case, when do you think it started? I had a friend of mine text me, Pete Rose. At that time, you have the all-time hits leader with gambling and then being banned from the game. And then people started to wonder what else may be going on, whether anything was or not.
Yeah, rolls right into the steroid era, obviously, some years after.
I mean, I'd say, Jackson, we've gotten more Black Sox, and I don't think anybody who's texting in was alive for it. And if so, leave a mic drop. But that, you know, that's, you're going back 106 years, right? To that. I don't know. I don't feel like this was what was going on in the 1980s. I mean, I was a kid, so I really don't recall it. But it absolutely, I expect it now.
Right.
And so my default position is to go against the mob. That's just how I, and here's the thing. Sometimes I think the mob is right. I don't think the mob is right often.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, like the Otani one, the Zach Johnson thing, and, you know, it's easy to like, oh, the Cardinal owners, they're down right now. Yeah, of course, they want public money. And, you know, I'm like, well, I believe Bill DeWitt. And some people, oh, my God, you're a mark. You know, you're in their pocket. I'm like, I don't know. I don't see why he would answer the question that way. He would say, yeah, we may be looking at getting public money. And here's the reason. But then when he was asked about it by the business, he's like, I don't know where it came from because we're not even sure what we're going to do. So therefore, how could we ask for money if we don't know what the price is because we don't know what we're going to do?
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, he's just covering up. He protests too much. Well, no, he was asked and he's setting the record straight. He's not protesting. He's explaining the question and giving an answer. So it sucks in that sense because there's a distrust that even when somebody is telling the truth, it's automatically discarded as being a lie.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Totally, yeah. And you know, not here to litigate conspiracy theories or politics by any means, but there it would be safe to assume that when people start distrusting or having questions of the government, that then they would also have similar thoughts to big, powerful people in sports. You know, those two probably worked hand in hand, and as that timeline trended, probably so did the sports distrust,
yeah.
If I had to guess.
Getting a lot of texts on this, I'll tell you that. Tim, if you believe that Otani did not know at all about his interpreter gambling his money, I have oceanfront property in Antarctica for sale because he truly do. I don't know what that means, but I just read what's in the teleprompter, Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And he should be given a lifetime ban. That's from FedEx Brian. That sounds good. I'll look at the property. Your thoughts, 314-399-9646. This is Balloon Party, 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. Final segment of Balloon Party here on 101 ESPN. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jackson Bennett-Burkett on the program with you. You are welcome to participate. YouTube chat active as the day is long, as is the Air Comfort Service text line. Jackson, you are part of the Little Piddles Friday Six Shooter, and what a six shooter it's been with the distrust of sports question. What else do you have for the people here as we enter the weekend on what appears to be a bright and beautiful Friday morning in St. Louis?
Absolutely. An article we discussed today on TMA certainly was a surprise. This comes from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, STLtoday.com, with the TV ratings coming out for a full docket of STL sports on Sunday in the final round of the Masters. What'd you make of the information? Did you think it was a decent representation of how St. Louis ranks their sports teams, all things considered?
So I would imagine plenty of people are not familiar with the article, so I need to refresh for those who have read it and give the information for those who haven't. I do not have it in front of me by chance. Do you? I know this.
That was bad on my part.
Okay. Well, it happens to the best of them. Let's see. You had the Blues playing at noon against the Kraken. The Cardinals were on the road against the Diamondbacks. The Battlehawks were in San Antonio, and City was at home playing Austin, and that was all on television that is not, you know, Apple TV was not carrying. Apple TV did carry the City game, but it was also available on network television in addition to the Masters. The Masters got the highest ratings by a comfortable margin, 50% higher than the second place one, which was the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the Battlehawks.
Yep.
Then it was the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
And then by a tenth of a point behind the Blues in a game that at that point was irrelevant, City against Austin.
Yes. Yep. That is accurate. Yeah. The 4.5 rating for the Masters compared to a 3.0 rating for the Cardinals and Diamondbacks.
So I think starting with the Masters, the number was down across the country. Scottie Scheffler may be dominant, and golf fans are aware of that, but Scottie Scheffler does not ignite the kind of interest level that Tiger Woods did. And I think that's the last time we've seen kind of this sustained dominance in the game, even though it's not Tiger dominance. But he doesn't have that same kind of, I don't even know. Some people certainly cheered for Tiger. Some cheered against him.
An aura, kind of.
It was a Q factor. I mean,
yeah.
You wanted to watch if he was playing, even if he was up big. It's like, how much is he going to win by? And so the last three Masters have not had drama on the final few holes at all. Scheffler in 22, Rahm in 23, Scheffler in 24. With that said, the numbers still were down nationally 20-ish percent. So I think the number would have been bigger for the Masters here in St. Louis if it were competitive on the back nine. Either way, it's still one out. The Cardinals being second, I think if the Cardinals had higher approval from the fan base, it may have beaten the Masters this year. The Cardinal game may have beaten the Masters this year, but that's just where things are with the Cardinals at this particular moment. I mean, the Battle Hawks thing to me is locally, because nationally, the UFL is not a success story, but locally, the Battle Hawks are an A-plus success story. And I'm telling you, man, I cannot wait to see what kind of attendance they get for an 11:30 game tomorrow against Memphis at the Dome. Yeah. Now, it's not going to be incredible weather in St. Louis, but it's not going to be 40 degrees either. It's just going to be kind of an average-ish April weekend day, maybe cloudy, maybe partly cloudy in St. Louis. 11:30 UFL game. If they get 40,000 in there like they did a couple of weeks ago, I mean, holy crap. Now, that was a Saturday night game.
Cardinal Day game as well on Saturday.
So you have that. City's not at home this week, but City was last week, and they finished last. But again, it was kind of neck and neck with the Blues. It wasn't like, yeah. I mean, there was a big gap between first and second. First being the Masters, second being the Cardinals. I don't know. I don't know what to extrapolate from that, honestly.
Yeah, it's tough because with the Blues especially, like, they're out of it. Like,
I think the Post-Dispatch wrote about it because the City television numbers are usually not out there because they're on Apple. So this is a time where they could be out there. Mm-hmm. But they were going up against the Cardinals and the Masters. The Blues weren't really playing at that time. And Battlehawks, what time did the Battlehawks kick off?
It was the afternoon. I just don't know.
So either way, I don't know if that's really representative of what it normally is like. Maybe it would be a little higher. If you like soccer, you're probably making excuses for it. If you don't like soccer, you're just, you know, joyous that they were last. I don't know. I kind of consider it an outlier again, because consider all that was going on. I mean, you may not like soccer, but the City has captured, just like the Battle Hawks for that matter. Yeah. I expected City's success. I did not expect, but it's gone to another level than I expected it to be. And I did not expect the Battle Hawks. The Battle Hawks thing to me, it's...
Yeah, this is a real test this weekend. I mean, if they...
But they already got 40,000 their opener. I mean, they've passed the test. If they get 40,000 at 11:30 on a Saturday, right. Holy crap.
Right.
I can't imagine. But then again, if you would have told me they got 40,000 two Saturdays ago, I'd go, what in the world?
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, totally.
It's an amazing thing that's operating like is some form of, you know, hey, look at us, but no one around the country cares. Mm-hmm. There isn't a soul outside of St. Louis who cares about it. I mean, I don't say that, but there aren't many people who care about it. But here, it's become this big social event, yeah. And not a society social event where it's like, I want to be seen at the game. It's just going to be a good time and whatever. It's football and there's no pretenses and we can party and drink and tailgate and have a good time and there's football going on.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different kind of deal.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of atmosphere. That city's got the same thing going too. That's different, but it's more lively.
Certainly.
Than that you're getting at Busch Stadium.
Certainly. Yeah. I don't think these numbers are necessarily like totally reflective on how St. Louis would power rank on a certain any given day, what teams are going to watch, because the Blues are out of it. But I think the Battlehawks.
Yeah, that's another thing on the Blues numbers. You're right. Because that Blues game, you can't use that as like a commentary on the Blues because they had been eliminated. I mean, right. You know. That game didn't carry any weight.
Right. Like, as awesome it is to see St. Louis embrace the Battle Hawks, I think if the Blues are fighting for that last spot on Sunday, they might be right behind the Masters, if not in front of the Masters, in terms of TV ratings. So there's a lot of, and also April Sunday afternoon game for the Cardinals. And like you said, the interest and engagement out of the fans is one that is certainly eye-opening this season. We saw the lowest attendance for a night game in Busch Stadium 3 history this already. So, yeah, there is some things to extrapolate, but a lot of context needs to be added to it.
Let's see. Parking lot's open at 7 a.m. Saturday for tailgating.
Wow.
How about that?
That's awesome. That's just great. It's great to see the people embrace a team like that.
This is
really
what...
Cool.
I was wanting it to be like for Rams games.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, I remember you when you guys on TMA
when you were a young tyke.
I was in high school, and I remember what you said. You said, if St. Louis does end up getting a new stadium, the Rams are cemented, going to be here, probably get a new owner. That first game back, which I guess would have been the 2016 season, so September of 2016, would be the liveliest, most ferocious atmosphere you'd seen at a football game since the greatest show on turf.
I recall saying that on that, I think it was the morning of that vote.
Yeah.
With, I guess, still some form of hope, even though I was pretty sure a week beforehand after a conversation with Kevin Demoff that it was going to be the Rams and Chargers, amazingly, considering the Chargers were working with the Raiders and the Rams were supposedly on their own, were going to be moving, that yes, if somehow there would have been a commitment to St. Louis, that the support they would have gotten. The way I draw a comparison to it is what you see with Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Passion.
Mm-hmm.
And when a team becomes synonymous with a city's identity.
Yeah.
And for a time, I think that's what the Cardinals were. And I think that might be why, when you look at the Blues, it's not like that's been real successful lately, but they get more of a pass than the Cardinals do. And there is a growing sense of frustration with the Cardinals, even though they won the division in 22, because, hey, this is our team, and what are you doing with our team? And I think if the Rams made that commitment or an owner made that commitment and they built a new stadium here, the support would have been unlike damn near anything you see around the NFL. I absolutely believe that. This, with the Battle Hawks, I think at the outset in 2020, it was about, here, look at this, NFL, look at this, we're good football fans. But now it's 2024.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's what's getting people to go down to the Dome to watch the UFL.
But
you
I think
know?
What first, when that we talked about, that's continued on. Like, people now just love going to games.
Because it's fun.
Right,
that's
exactly
what it's all about. All right, time for us to shut it down. BK and Ferrario are up next for Jackson Burkett. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been Balloon Party, driven by Mung & Us. St. Louis Acura, Mung & Us, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota, 101 ESPN.
You've been listening to The Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.